Well, I want to share with you today about the first Easter. That's why we're here, and we want to talk about the first Easter. And I got three questions for you, all right? Here's number one. What did Jesus tell his disciples about the first Easter? What did Jesus tell his disciples about the first Easter? Now, the common, for many people, not many theologians, but for many people, the common understanding of John 14 is it's about the second coming. But I want you to see it differently today and notice Jesus talking to his disciples just a few days before the crucifixion and the resurrection. Okay? So let's read it that way. John 14, and I believe in the second coming, by the way. Okay? I believe in the second coming. But I believe John 14 is talking about the crucifixion. I believe it's talking about the first Easter, actually. So let me just show it to you, right? John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, stop just for a moment. You're not going to be troubled after the second coming. Right? But when he was crucified, the disciples were troubled. That's what he's talking about. All right, watch this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. That word trips us up, but we'll come back to it. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the reason we think this is talking about the second coming. And I understand that. But let's talk for a moment about this word mansions. I don't mean to upset you, but that's not in the Greek, the word mansions. It's the word dwelling would be the best way to translate it. As a matter of fact, the only time it's ever translated mansions is in the Old King James and New King James here. And I don't know why in 1611 they put that word there. As a matter of fact, it's actually lower. It's down later in chapter 14. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Dwelling. Not mansion. We'll come and make our mansion with him. Okay, I know you didn't come to church to hear that you're not going to get a big house one day. But I want you to think about that's really a very earthly picture of heaven. You know, I may not have a big house now, but one day I'm going to make Bill Gates' house look like a shack. And that's really what I'm looking forward to, by the way, when I get to heaven, is my big house. Can I just say something? When you get to heaven, you're not going to care about big houses anymore. So here's what he could be saying. You can't dwell with the Father right now. You can't have a relationship with the Father. But I'm going to go and take care of it so you can have a relationship with the Father. And I'm about to go away. He's talking to the disciples now. But don't be troubled because I'll come back. It'll just be a little while. Matter of fact, we're going to read in a moment where he says, it'll just be a little while. I'll be gone a little while. And in just a little while, I'll just be gone for a little while. I'll come right back. Okay? So let me show you that. Look on down now. John 14, verse 25. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you. Now, then he's going to talk about two things, and these are very important to remember. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, that's the first thing he talks about, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So he talks about the Holy Spirit. Then he says, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give unto you. That's where now he talks about peace. Peace and the Holy Spirit. Remember those two things. Let not your heart be troubled. Have we read that phrase before? Where? Verse 1, right? Right? Okay? Stay with me. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. All right, wait a minute. Where had they heard that? Verses 1 through 3 that we just read. I am going away and coming back. Right? You have heard me say, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. Verse 29 is the key to show you this isn't talking about the second coming. And now, I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. Now we're going to come back to that, but you got to remember verse 30. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has nothing in me. We'll come back to that. Okay, watch this. I'm going away and coming back. And I've told you this before it happens, that when it happens, you will believe. Okay, let me ask you a very, very simple question. Is anyone going to have any problem believing after the second coming? Well, why would he say that if he's talking about the second coming? He also talked about peace and the Holy Spirit. When I come back, I'm going to bring two things, peace and the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me ask you something. Was the Holy Spirit poured out after his resurrection, or will the Holy Spirit be poured out at the second coming? He's not talking about the second coming here. He's talking about his resurrection. I've told you this before it happens. Who's he talking to? The disciples. I've told you this. You're going to be troubled. Something's about to happen that's going to shake your faith. I'm going to have to go away for a while, but I'll come back. You'll see me again. And I'm telling you this before it happens, that when it happens, you'll believe. You see that? You see how clear that is? Okay, he's talking about what's about to happen. This is very, you say, I don't know why you're making such a big deal of it. It's very important what happened on the first Easter. Because what happened on the first Easter is what gives us victory this Easter. And where did he say he was going? I'm going to the Father. Okay, 11 of you got it, but I need all of you to get it. At both campuses too. Where is he going? To the Father. Very, very important. Now, look at John chapter 16. Just flip over just a couple pages. Verse 16. A little while, and you will not see me. Now he's referring to the crucifixion. And then again, a little while, and you will see me again. Because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this thing that he says to us? A little while, you will not see me. And again, a little while, you will see me. And because I go to the Father. Remember, this is a big phrase, because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he says a little while? We don't know what he's saying. Now look at verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and so he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you'll not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Most assuredly I say to you, you will weep and lament. They didn't weep and lament when he went away in Acts. They wept and lamented when he was crucified. But the world will rejoice. That's when the world rejoiced, when he died on the cross. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. That was at the resurrection. But as soon as she get a woman, pardon me, verse 21. A woman, when she's in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish. For joy that a human being is born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again. He's talking about the resurrection. I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. He's talking about the first Easter. Very important. A little while, and you won't see me. And then just a little while, not thousands of years, and you'll see me again. And I've told you this, remember this phrase, I've told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you'll believe. Okay? Now, here's question number two. That's what he told his disciples about the first Easter. Question number two. What happened the morning of the first Easter? Very important, the word morning. What happened the morning of the first Easter? Now, flip over to John chapter 20. Just a few pages over. John chapter 20, verse 1. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Now to save time, she then runs back. She tells the disciples. Peter and John run down. They look and see. Then they go back home. And Mary is left in the garden alone. Okay? Verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him. Now when she said this, watch your Bibles, this is very strange. She turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. Okay, that's weird. You want to know why that's weird? She had traveled with him for 2.5 years. She knew him very, very well. One pastor I heard say she didn't recognize him because his body had been so badly beaten on the cross that it was unrecognizable. Now, I believe his body was badly beaten during the scourging and at the cross, but she helped take his body off the cross and prepared it for burial. She knew what it looked like. So there's something different about his appearance right now. She doesn't recognize him, okay? Verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, that's weird too, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." He opened her eyes somehow so she'd recognize him. She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me." We'll come to that. Don't cling to me. Don't touch me. For I have not yet ascended. Watch this carefully. Where did he tell his disciples he was going? To the Father. I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am. Is that present tense or future tense? Present tense. I am ascending to my Father and your Father. To my God, watch this, and your God. You can't have a relationship with the Father yet, but I'll go to the Father and I'll fix it where you can have a relationship with the Father. Now, this is really big. He says to her, "Don't touch me." That's what the Greek word here means. I don't know why they translate it cling right here, but let me give you another time this Greek word's in the New Testament. Nearly every time it's translated the word touch. You remember the woman who had an issue of blood, and she said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment." She didn't say cling to. She said touch, and that's literally what the word means. Jesus turned around afterwards and said, "Who touched me?" Not who clung to me, who touched me. This word's touch. Mary sees Jesus, doesn't recognize him, and then she recognizes him. She starts to grab him, and he says to her, "Don't touch me! Don't touch me! I have not yet ascended to my Father." Where did he tell the disciples he was going? To his Father. He said, "But go tell my disciples, go tell them, I am. Right now, I am ascending to my Father. I'm ascending right now to my Father." This is not the ascension 40 days later. Okay? I'm ascending to my Father. Okay, this happened. Did this happen in the morning, afternoon, or evening? Morning. Okay. Watch the two verses later. Look at verse 19. Then the same day at evening. Okay, wait, stop. Look at me. Where's he been all afternoon? That's where he said he was going. Let me tell you something. This will change your life. This will change your life to understand what happened on the first Easter. Then the same day at evening. Now, okay, one more thing. He told the disciples, "I'm going away to the Father and coming back. When I come back, I'm going to bring two things with me." What two things were they? Peace and the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you this before it happens. So that when it happens, you will believe. Okay, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be to you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. What did he say in the morning to Mary? "Don't touch me." Now he says, "Touch me. Look, something different. Something's happened." He showed him his hands and side. By the way, just a little while later, he said to Thomas, "Stretch your hand here. Touch the nail prints in my hand. Touch them. It's okay. You can touch me now because I've already ascended." Watch. He showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you as the..." Where'd he go again? "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Are y'all seeing this? He said to his disciples, "Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. I'm going away. I've got to go to the Father because you can't dwell. You cannot dwell with the Father right now. You can't have a relationship with the Father. But I'm going to go and take care of it so you can." so that where I am, there you may be also. You can have a relationship with the Father too. After the first Easter. I'll take care of it. And when I come back, I'm going to give you two signs so you'll remember this and believe. Peace and the Holy Spirit. Then on that morning, he's in the garden and he says to Mary, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended, but you go tell my thick-headed disciples, I am ascending to my Father and now to your Father, to my God and your God. And the same day at evening, he shows up. He says, you want to touch me? You can touch me. Touch me. Touch. See, look, it's me. And by the way, peace. And receive the Holy Spirit. And as the Father has just now sent me, I'm going to send you. Now, during the 3 days, he descended, the Bible says. He descended into Sheol Hades, the place of the departed and the place of those that were waiting. And he walks in and he, in essence, says to Satan, give me the keys. And he takes the keys of death and hell. And he leads the Old Testament saints, the Bible says. He leads them out. And then he ascends. This is Ephesians 4. He descended before he ascended. That's what Ephesians 4 says. He descended during the 3 days. Sunday morning, he ascends into heaven. And then he comes back to earth on Sunday evening. And he ascends. But he says to his disciples, the Old Testament saints, he says to them, before we go into heaven, I take you to heaven to where be with my Father. And says, now you can have a relationship with the Father. But before I take you, I've got to stop by the earth, and I'm going to have to have Mary go talk to the disciples, because I have the slowest guys you've ever seen in your life. I'm going to have a woman take care of this for me. And then, here's the deal. You know what the Old Testament saints said? I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. They said, well, Lord, it's been a long time since we've seen Jerusalem. Would you mind if we walk around and look at Jerusalem while you're talking to Mary? Is that in the Bible? Look, a lot of people think it happened at the crucifixion because of the way the verse is read, but it didn't. It happened at the resurrection. Matthew 27:51. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. I know that's at the crucifixion, but watch. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split and the graves were open and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming out of their graves when? After his resurrection, they went into the holy city, Jerusalem, and appeared to many. Abraham's walking around. He's saying to Isaac, see, right over there where that Wendy's is, that was a ballpark. I used to play right over there when I was growing up. David said, you see where the Walmart was? That's where I used to play ball, right where the Walmart is. I don't know if y'all know, but they sent that deal up the camera, you know, to Mars. They just got pictures back. You know what they found out? Walmart's already there. So the Old Testament saints are walking around the earth. Jesus said to Mary, go tell the disciples I'm ascended. There's an Old Testament passage that I think relates to what happened when they ascended. They ascended to heaven and they got up to those gates. And those Old Testament saints said, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and let the King of Glory come in. And the angelic protectors hurled back their challenge and said, who is this King of Glory? And they said, let's tell him, boys. He is the Lord strong in battle. He is the Lord mighty in battle. And those gates opened up and Jesus walked into heaven. And he leads those Old Testament saints into heaven. And he prepares the way now for you to have a relationship with God. Now, wouldn't it be great if there was a passage in the Bible that told us what happened on that afternoon? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Here's question number three, last one. What happened the afternoon of the first Easter? Now, before we show you the passage, it's in Daniel 7, if you want to put a marker there. Let me just remind you of a scripture, John 14:30. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. Present tense. He's coming. And he has nothing in me. And look at verse 31. I had my notes 27 through 31, but I'm not going to do the whole thing. Just look at verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world be cast out. Okay, let me just ask you something. Did Jesus say at the second coming will be the judgment of this world? Or did he say now? Right now. The judgment. Now, this isn't the great white throne judgment. Turn to Daniel 7, by the way. This isn't the great white throne judgment. This isn't the judgment seat. This is the judgment of the world. And who's about to be cast out? The ruler of this world, Satan. Who's about to get his dominion taken away? Satan. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. And he disarmed all principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them. Triumphing over them is what Colossians 2 says. Okay, let me just tell you something. That's not going to happen in the future. That happened 2,000 years ago. That's why it's important for you to understand what happened on the first Easter. Now, Daniel 7. Remember, where did he go? Jesus said, I'm going away and I'm going to the Father. Daniel 7. Some people think Daniel 7 is prophetic about the second coming. It is, but it's also prophetic about the first coming of the Messiah. And this is what happened 2,000 years ago. And this is the best description I've ever seen in the Bible of the Father. It's incredible what we're about to read. Daniel 7, verse 9. I watched until thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. Who do you think that is? That's the Father. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated. Remember, now is the judgment of this world. And the books were opened. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain. Now, this isn't the beast in Revelation because there's four beasts. This is the first beast. Can I just tell you something? Death and hell and the grave have been totally conquered. Totally conquered. They have no more dominion over you. I watched until the beast was slain and its body was destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, the other three, listen very carefully. It's very important for you to catch. They had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. They had their dominion taken away. Verse 13. Watch this. Who went to the Father, but who was it that went to the Father? Jesus, right? I was watching, verse 13, in the night visions. And behold, one like the Son of Man. Who's that? Jesus. Coming with the clouds of heaven. Many people, many theologians believe that's the Old Testament saints. He came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. I'm telling you, this happened 2,000 years ago. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. That's important to catch. Listen to me. Jesus isn't going to get dominion one day. He got it. 2,000 years ago, he got it. That's why you need to understand this, because Satan's been lying to you. Satan's been telling you that he's still in charge. And Jesus said 2,000 years ago, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world's going to be cast out. His dominion was taken away, and he lies to people and says, I'm still in charge until the second coming. And I'm telling you, he's not in charge anymore. Jesus came and got it back. He got it all back. Now let me show you two more scriptures. Watch this. These are good. As if the other ones weren't. But these are good. Verse 21. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came in. And a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. You don't have to wait to possess the kingdom until the second coming. You can enter the kingdom of God right now by belief in Jesus Christ. You know what the Colossians says when you get saved? You're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, let me tell you, here's what happened. It says a judgment was made in favor of the saints. The Ancient of Days came in, the Father. And Jesus came in, having paid for our sins. And the devil came in, and the Father looked at Jesus, looked at the devil, and said, took his gavel and said, "Saints win, demons lose." And that's what happened 2,000 years ago. That's what happened at the first Easter. And I'm telling you, as one who's been set free, you don't have to be in bondage to lust anymore. You don't have to be in bondage to alcoholism. You don't have to be in bondage to drugs. You don't have to be in bondage to fear. You don't have to be in bondage to doubt and unbelief, because Jesus has all dominion. You know what He said after the resurrection to the disciples? After the resurrection, He said, "All authority and all dominion has been given to Me. I got it back." He's not getting it back one day. He got it back at the first Easter. The reason we have victory this Easter is because He got it back at the first Easter. You follow me? And if you want victory, you're going to have to quit running your own life and put your faith and trust in Jesus. Otherwise, you're still under the dominion of the enemy. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes.